Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there's a reason we refer to tough times in life as storms. As much as we'd like to admit that we have control in this world, it's really just an illusion. The world is a big, complex thing, and when it comes to wind and rain and boats out on the sea and fears that this might be the end of us, we have to admit that we don't have any control over any of it. Well, in today's world, I suppose we do have some ability to get out of the way of the storm or maybe avoid it altogether sometimes. But that's also a result of our privilege to a large degree. We can create shelters from the storms, but again, the more resources one has, the better the shelter. And when nature decides to make its move, when the earth decides to move and atmosphere around us swirls, or the land and the water swap places for whatever reason, or the world shakes and boils for some hidden purpose, there is no way any of us is going to stop it. We all have stories of being caught in storms. When I used to ride my bike to school, sometimes a thunderstorm would catch me off guard and I'd arrive at school drenched from head to toe. Some of you remember the summer of 64. Perhaps you remember where you were when the big flood of the Flathead Valley occurred. Or you're driving along the highway when the emergency alert comes on and the radio keeps telling you that a tornado is in the area. Seek shelter. There are blizzards and earthquakes and wildfires that blow through our streets, sometimes destroying all that we have, sometimes sparing us, but not our neighbors. And then there are the other storms of life, the ones not atmospheric, but able to shake us up nonetheless. There's the diagnosis you wish you'd never had to hear. There's the pain of family members forsaking their love for one another for the sake of some ego-boosting righteousness. There's the day when your spouse collapses and they have to take him to the hospital, even though you know he's not going to make it. There's the law that points discriminately toward your neighbor who has an accent or darker skin. And there's the news that the economy has taken a turn and jobs will suffer. Only yours as an hourly worker, more than the boss in the corner office. The storms of life, we call them. And they are powerful because we are helpless. The entire story of Jesus' life could possibly be described as a storm, especially in Mark. Jesus blows onto the scene in a blur and kicks up dust wherever he goes. Jesus isn't tactful or interested in helping everyone know how and why he's on this mission from God. And so the disciples, when they get into their boat and take Jesus away from the crowds on the beach, they probably think that they're doing a good thing. They're doing what little they can to protect Jesus from this storm that has become his life and theirs. And Jesus seems to revel in the calm that an evening cruise can bring. He's fast asleep in the stern of the boat. It's interesting here, actually, to take a look at the imagery and symbolism going on in the story. Water, of course, is a big one in the Bible. Water, like fire, represents both life and death at the same time. Water is the place, not of God's absence, but that God must subdue, and calm in order to abide. So in the beginning, God pushes the waters back to create dry land. And when the refugees of Egypt are pursued by Pharaoh, God splits the sea so that they can cross on dry land in the presence of that God. In today's story, too, Jesus stills the storm on the Sea of Galilee. That God resides on the voice of Jesus has a lot to say about who Jesus is. Notice that's the quandary of the disciples at the end of the passage. But the way Jesus speaks is also telling. The storm has power, that's for sure. But Jesus speaks with a power that proves to be greater than the storm. In our Bibles, Jesus is measured and composed. "Peace, be still," Jesus says. But in the original languages, Jesus actually says something more like, "Quiet! Don't move!" It's the language of a police officer pursuing one known to have caused pain and suffering and destruction. But this voice of God on the lips of Jesus comes only after the disciples have had to wake him up. He's been asleep in the boat, oblivious, it seems, to this storm that is threatening to devour them. But sleep, in the Bible, is actually the posture of trust. Sleep is what God grants to those who have put their faith in him and thus have no worries regarding the threats of the world. Contrastingly, activity and movement and anxiety are the result of a distrust in the one who has promised to deliver us. One way of understanding the effect of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, remember that? For 40 years? Is that they had to walk and wander until they couldn't move any further. Only then, when they had wandered themselves lame and incapacitated, when they couldn't do anything more for themselves, then was God able to step in and give them what they really needed. Promised land, a place to call their own, a place they could rest. Jesus sleeps, but the disciples fret and fury. And which one has the trust of God, the strength of God? Jesus doesn't so much wrestle power away from the storm as announce that it never really had any power to begin with. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how part of what we need to realize as people under the care of and protection of God Almighty is that no matter what, God will be God, and we will not. This storm on the Sea of Galilee might be a microcosm of the whole story of Jesus coming into the world where the world is the storm and we are endlessly fighting to gain control, to sail our ship, to keep ourselves from being overcome by the waves and dragged to the depths of the godless seabed. And maybe it seems like God is asleep in the boat at the back. Doesn't God care that there are wars and shootings and awful things that people do to one another? And sickness and poverty and families that refuse to get along? Not to mention tornadoes and wildfires and earthquakes. And in the end, Jesus may very well command the storm to be silent. Many of us are here Today, because we have experienced that grace of God to bring us through the storms of life, or at the very least, perhaps you've come here today hoping to hear a word that will ease the pain, dry the tears, unclench the knot in your belly. And that word is true. God is and has been faithful, ever, even through the storms. Jesus says to our storms too, be silent. Don't move another moment to threaten these people of mine in this little boat. God is ready to stretch out his hand and part the waters so that we too might cross over and escape our enemies. And maybe even get to see them destroyed in the sea instead of us. God has come into our lives with love and salvation as surely as Jesus walked among the people of Palestine, having healing hands and words of hope those many years ago. Jesus hears our fears and opens his eyes to the pain of our world. And Jesus calms our storms. But Jesus will ask us the same question that he asked the disciples. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? The reading from Job is our reminder that come what may, God will be God. Even faithful Job needs to hear that word. Let us not fall prey to the temptation of trying to tell God where the wind should blow or when the volcano erupt, even if we don't understand the consequences or casualties. But the psalm is our refuge in the storm, our haven of hope to acquire that rest which so often is put off for the sake of worry and fear. The psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And that really is our hope in the midst of the storm, isn't it? Not that this day will pass, or that there's a plan for us, and a time to live and a time to die. And not some sort of veiled trust in God that's really a testimony of our own pride in thinking that we've accepted Jesus, and so Jesus will take care of us. No, the hope is that God is God, and we are not. For God speaks, and the wind and the seas obey him. We might have many resources or few. We might have the privilege and ability to navigate out of and away from the storm. We might even think that we can best the terrors and pains and fears of this world with our own strength and understanding. But our hope is that Jesus might call us to rest. Rest in the back of the boat, and trust that come what may, God loves this world, and God loves you and me. Even if we have to wake Jesus up, God's not going to let our little boat go down. That's our truth in the midst of the storms.